CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is where we get together, live radio, and you can call in, you can be part of the program. This is what we set aside every weekday afternoon. You know, so many things going on. Sometimes you just need someone to talk to. Sometimes when you read your Bible, you come across something you don't understand. You just want an answer. Sometimes when someone asks you a difficult question about faith, you just want to give them a good answer, but you don't know who to talk to. That's why we're here. We just get together as a family meeting, you might say, with all those that listen. And I just want to encourage you to be part of the family today. 888-ASK-CSN. You can call and ask your questions. You know, with so many things going on in the political world, global wars and rumors of wars, all the things going on, Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. You know, there's always been wars, there's always been famines, there's always been all these things, but not all at the same time everywhere. And I believe this is what makes our time different than any other time. And the principal reason for that is the nation of Israel existing, Jerusalem under Jewish control. This is what Jesus said would be a key eye marker for time in Luke chapter 21. The other day I picked up a book called Jesus is Coming. Now, I looked at it, and I could tell the book was old, so I opened it up and began to look. It was printed in 1898. And in this book, it talked about the second coming of Christ. It talked about a separate event, the rapture of the church. But one of the things that was in it is it said, it appears that Israel will become a nation again, and Jerusalem will be under Jewish control. Now, I thought that was really interesting because even in 1898, they recognized these are some events that need to come for the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. And so as I began to read it, I thought it was quite interesting not knowing what we know now. You know, they had a pretty good understanding of what the Bible was about. So anyhow, if you got a question you'd like to ask us, 888-ASK-CSN. We have with us Joe Jackson today from Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiau, Hawaii, about 12 miles south of Hilo, Hawaii, off of Highway 130. Hi and welcome, Joe.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Great to be on the show with you today. And it's always good to be on air and just have God's word to answer some questions that we may have, whether it's something we read in our scripture or even something we see another pastor say or see on YouTube, that God has given us a foundation we could build our life on. And even as you were mentioning there, Pastor Mike, I believe as well that we are in the last days of the last days. And the good news is for us believers, this isn't a time to panic, but this is actually our celebration as God's will is fulfilled, eventually leading to a time of a new heaven, a new earth. And so many things we see happening in our world today, just pointing to Christ coming back. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And so it's exciting to see. And again, we want to let our light shine. As the world grows darker, we shine brighter, just the way it works. And so, again, 8888-ASK-CSN, the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Very quickly, Joe, what are you teaching on and what's the service times?
Yes, so our service times are 8 and 10, and we are in our Game Changer series. We're talking about how a moment in God's presence can change everything. There's a game changer. And all throughout the Gospels, you see people having an encounter and an account with Jesus, and their lives are forever changed because of it. And I believe the same can happen in us. As we have a relationship with Christ, our lives are never the same again. So we'll be looking at that, talking about it this Sunday at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. We hope to see you there. If you're on Big Island, we'd love to have you. Pastor Mike?
And be sure to go up and say hi to Joe that you heard him on the radio. It's always a blessing to listen and share with our radio audience. We always get blessed by that. If you're in the Twin Falls area, we want to invite you to church this Sunday. Again, I'm going to be talking about the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, Jesus said that a lot. And I think the more we know about our eternal home, the more we have to look forward to. And so I'm going to just share that with you when Jesus would often say, and the kingdom of heaven is likened. We're going to talk about that. And so it starts at 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio, and of course on the internet around the world. We want to just encourage you to adjust your time for daylight, mountain daylight saving time. And so, look forward to seeing you there. To the phones we go, 8888 Ask CSN. We have Joan on the line, Georgia. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help,
Hi,
Joan?
How are you?
Yes.
I'd like to find out something, and please forgive me if I start crying, but I'm just really upset. I'd like to find out why people are so cruel. I feel like in my life in particular, I've just had to deal with cruelty all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came to Georgia, I came here, I was supposed to be going to Florida, but my daughters wanted to stop here to see the state. And I wound up standing on the sidewalk to cross the street after getting some food for dinner. And I got ran over by, I got dragged by a SUV. Then he ran over my legs, and he came back and ran over my legs and my stomach, and he left me for dead. It took me 5 years to walk again, 3 years to be able to hold anything by myself, and now I'm completely disabled because I have a rod in my back, my legs, my knees, and my right wrist. And that's the first thing I'm thinking of. How could you just leave someone like that? And it basically just, it destroyed my life because I can't work now, but disability isn't enough. And now I'm in a situation where I had to go in and out of hotels because I didn't have enough because of disability. And I finally found a home, but I may lose it because I don't have enough. And I was supposed to be getting a grant from the Polk Foundation, which is Mr. Polk, our director of national security. But I didn't know his foundation had closed, and there was someone online scamming and pretending to be his foundation.
Mm.
And they had sent me an award letter and everything saying that I had received $100,000, and I was really happy because I was going to pay my rent for 2.5 years, and then I was going to finally be able to get me an SUV because I want to do interior design or refurbish furniture so I can have extra income. But then I found out it was a scam, and now I could lose my home. I've reached out to so many different foundations and charities, individuals. I had Shaq's Foundation tell me that they can't help me unless the media calls them. I reached out to Omega Church. He told me to call him. I did. And then he sent my information to the people who read his mail and just told me that he'll pray for me.
Well, here's a question for you, Joan. The person that ran over you, what happened to him?
They never found him. There was only one witness on this very busy street, and he said he didn't get his license plate because he was in awe of how the guy kept running me over, and he was trying to call 911.
Oh, golly. Well, wow. You know, why are people mean? Well, this is not our Father's world. It was given over into the hands of Satan in the garden, and we all have lived under the tyranny of wicked people, all of us. There's nobody that can say, oh boy, I've never had. No, we all have. We've all had people be mean to us. We've all had people lie to us. And this is where I believe the faithfulness of Christ comes in. Though everybody leave me, Christ never will. And though everybody's mean to me, Jesus never will be. And, Joan, I really understand. I've had so many people in my life be mean to me. And if I gauged my love for God on the way people in this life have treated me, I'd never be a Christian. You know, but I didn't. And that's what the Bible says we shouldn't. We need to base our life and our love upon God's great love for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. I never want to gauge God's love towards me from people, because people will fail us. the best of them will. I wish I could say they wouldn't, but they do. And so I would just tell you that God's still on his throne. God sees everything going on in your life, and God has a way of meeting that. And I do believe being part of the fellowship is very helpful. I think that this is something that we need to be because we have something to contribute to that church, and they have something to contribute to us. I really believe that's important. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, and following up on that, Joan, I would just ask, are you part of a church and plugged in there?
I am part of a church, but I can honestly say that sometimes I doubt, because people tell me I have a story because I was saved by the accident, but I don't feel like I have a story because I'm struggling, and I ask God all the time, why would you save me and have me struggle? I've been calling him and calling him and calling him and telling him I need help. I'm trying to save my home, and I've called like 900 people and no one's calling me back. And I just, right. It makes my faith wane because I feel like he doesn't hear me. You can't, why would you save me, but you wouldn't allow me to be able to take care of myself.
Right. And I totally understand that, how hard that must be. You know, just feeling like God is silent. And this is something that we all can feel, you know, even when you think about it, even Jesus felt this as he's on the cross suffering. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think it's good and okay if we're honest with God in our prayers, that when life doesn't make sense and things aren't working out, that God would rather have us run to him than run from him. And we can come before him and be like, God, are you hearing me? Are you responding? Do you see what's going on in my life? But at the same time, recognizing that because we're in a sin-fallen world, you know, even Jesus says, in this life you will have trouble. But he goes on to say, but take heart because I've overcome this world. And so that's where the faith comes in, that faith isn't something that depends on my feelings or my circumstance. But it's a deep trust that even though it is hard right now, that God does see me, God does hear me. And even though I don't see the plan right now, God has a plan for me. You know, that's his promise, is to take care of his children. And we don't always see it right away. And so I would just encourage you, one, don't lose heart, don't lose hope, don't lose faith. And then even keep taking the steps to reach out, whether to people or even as you're reaching out to these different nonprofit organizations. The enemy wants to bring discouragement in your life and get you to just give up, but keep doing the things you're doing. And I believe God's going to open doors for you, Pastor Mike.
Yeah, and we're going to pray that God does open those doors for you, dear, because you need a miracle. You really yeah. do. You're one of those candidates that, you know, I always remember in the Bible, you know, here Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. They come up to the Red Seas, mountains on one side, mountains on the other side, Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them. The only way out is up. And I would say, Joan, it sounds like that's a little bit like you. But God is a God of miracles, and God does work these things. And so let's pray and just see what God will do, okay?
Okay.
Father, we lift up Joan to you. You know all the things that she's been through. You know that she is coming to the end of her rope. And I pray, God, that you would do a supernatural miracle. You know, your word says you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And so we ask you to benevolently open the windows of heaven and bless her, God. Do something new. Change the circumstance. Change the direction that this has all been going. And Lord, we trust you for a miracle today, to continue to do something brand new in her life that will bring about a healing in her body, financial wellness to her needs being met. We ask you this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Joan, we'll see what God does. We have a miracle working God. What he's done for others, he'll do for us. And I just want to encourage you that just ask, seek, and knock. That's how we find God's will. Don't ever just sit there and say, well, there's nothing I can do. Always do something. spend some time in prayer. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He may give you an idea, a person to talk to, a thought, a name of a church. I don't know, but I know God has a way of getting his message to us. And then act on those. Knock, seek, and ask. In the Greek, those words are continue to knock, continue to seek, continue to ask, and it will be opened unto us. And so I ask, I just want to just ask you that you stay in fellowship, because that's really important, and we'll just see the great things God will do, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Joan, God bless you, dear.
Guys.
We're here for you. I'll be praying that God brings a miracle into your life in Jesus' name. Amen. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. We're going to go to Brooke, San Diego. Hi, welcome. Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
How may we help?
Yeah, so I've been married 26 years to a military man, and who recently retired after 30 years, and felt like he was mourning, he said, and that he was going to miss a couple people at work, one of them being a woman, and which I thought was kind of odd that he said that, because, you know, I knew all about this girl, and, you know, I didn't really care for her because I knew so much about her. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks later, he said he didn't want to be married anymore. And he didn't love me. And one other time, he had said that before, and we got counseling for 2 years. But anyway, so after he told me that, I asked him what he wanted me to do. He said, nothing, just stay here. And anyway, so he's working away from the home right now. And I recently found out a month ago that that he's trying to get her a job where he's recently working. And so now he wants to reconcile after I found out that. I don't know if that's the reason, but so, yeah.
Well, if he wants to reconcile, it sounds like maybe something's going on. Is this man a professing Christian?
Yes, we have been going to church since we've been married and raising our daughters in the church. And, he loves Jesus.
Well, Brooke, let me just share something with you. Every man, every woman, we do sometimes really dumb things in life. Sometimes as single people, sometimes as married people. If he's wanting to reconcile to you, it sounds like God is doing something in his heart. You know, a lot of times we begin to have an idea or a fantasy, and then we begin to act on those fantasies only to find out it's a lie. And it may very well be that way with your husband. Maybe he thought, well, you know, this girl, she could come here and, you know, I can start a new life with her. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden you kind of, the penny drops, you know, the day of reckoning comes, you realize, hey, I've been lied to. I've been believing something that isn't true. It sounds to me that this may very well be the case. Now, not knowing whether there's been any immorality going on or anything like that, but it is possible that many times people have ideas. They act on those ideas only to say, well, you got it. Is this what you want? Or it's approachable now. Is this what you really want? And you look at it and you go, you know what? I don't think so. So I think a lot of times we all have made mistakes. I call it buyer's remorse. Now, maybe he didn't buy the farm yet. Maybe he was considering it. But I think we've all done that, whether it be a car we bought, whether it be a particular thing that we thought would make us happy. We get those things and we realize that, hey, this isn't really what I'm looking for. And when you stop to think that he has a relationship with God, you've got to realize that God is got to be speaking to him, dear. And so I calling him into repentance. I believe this is the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to keep us walking in the ways of his calling. And so I believe that this sounds like something God is doing. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and I would just ask you, Brooke, is that something that you want to work towards? Is that restoration in the marriage?
He recently asked me, why don't I be friends with her? And I just thought that was odd. Like, what? You want me to be friends with this
Sure.
girl? Like what? So I don't know. I just think I love my husband, and biblically, God wants me to love my husband, and I know his hands on our marriage. And so I know I just want to love him and take care of him. I know he's going through a lot. He just got, he's just going through a lot. And if he says he's mourning him being out of the military, I just feel for him.
Well, do you know a lot of men, this is a truth. A lot of men, when they retire, they live sometimes 9 months and then they die because they've kind of felt that they've lost their purpose to live. Because a man gets his identity from what he does. In fact, you'll notice that oftentimes, if you're around people, one guy will look at another guy and say, "What do you do for a living?" That's the first question. It isn't where you live, how big is your house, how big is your family, are you married? It's what do you do? Because men identify with what they do. Women, on the other hand, identify more of where they live and their families. And so they'll say, "Well, where do you live?" They don't say, "What do you do for a living?" I very, very seldom will you ever hear one woman ask another woman, "What do you do for a living?" It will be, "Where do you live?" And it's because we're wired different. And when a man kind of loses something, as you mentioned, after 30 years in the military, retiring away from that, it's very possible that he may have a little bit of doubt of his self-worth now. Because again, when you identify with what you do, now you no longer do it. Am I worth anything? Now, here's something I would tell you, Brooke, that's very important. You need to really let him know that you love him. Not because he brings home the bacon, but because you love him. I tell people all the time, you want to be the one that tells your husband he has pretty eyes. You want to be the one that tells your wife her hair is pretty. Because if you don't, and I hate to say this, everybody, but it's so true, somebody else will. And when somebody else starts complimenting you and you haven't heard that from your home for 20 years, all of a sudden it's like magnets. You're just attracted to that because here's somebody that really notices. And so I just really want to just really encourage you, Brooke, that he's been getting his ID from his identify his who he is, his identity from what he's been doing. But you need to let him know that he has an identity outside of what he was doing. And that identity is that you love him for who he is. And I really believe that that will be one of the best things that you can do because a man needs to be affirmed. When you talk more warmly to your dog or your whatever it might be than to who you're married to, honestly, don't expect that person to stay around. He won't. Because the thing is, we all need to be loved. We all need to be affirmed. And listen, if you are not affirming your spouse, if you are not affirming your kids, the local gangs will affirm your kids. If you're not affirming your spouse, somebody else will. And for some reason, people don't seem to understand that our words either build up or tear down. Our words can either encourage and make a person feel like $1 million, or you can grind them into the dust. I found something about criticism in my life. People that are critical, it really motivates me. You didn't do this. It really motivates me. It motivates me to get as far away from those people as I can get. But when someone notices what you do, and it's interesting, even when Jesus is correcting the churches in Revelations chapters 2 and 3, he says, "I know your works. I know how you love and how you do these different things." And after he affirms them, just as Paul did at the church at Corinth and the other letters that he would write, then he would say, "But I have this against you." I think that's okay But if all we ever say to somebody is, I got this against you, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, and here you go again. You know what your motivation is to go far, far away from that person. Please, everybody listen. You don't want somebody else affirming your spouse. You need to do it. Oh, that old guy, I don't care what happens to him. He won't be around, guaranteed. He's a Christian. I can treat him however I want because he can't leave me. Don't ever think that. Don't think that. See, we need to be affirming. Tell your spouse you love them. Tell your spouse they have pretty eyes. Thank them for mowing the lawn. Thank them for bringing home a paycheck. Thank them for doing a good job raising your kids. Thank them for cooking a good meal. Thank them. See, the thing is, we're unthankful. I shared this last Sunday. It says, give thanks in all things. This is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, I listened to a lot of stuff on TV and radio over the years, being a pastor and for almost 50 years. And you know, what's really weird, well, if you really want to unlock the power of God, use your magic faith words. Just, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, and whoa, it'll happen. No. Well, what really moves the hand of God is perfect church attendance. Yeah, that's what you have to have. Perfect church attendance. No, you've got to give all your money. That's what's going to get the attention of God. Yeah, that will. Charitable deeds. Oh, that's going to. No, you know what unlocks the power of God? Thankfulness. Because if we're not thankful for what we have, we ain't going to be thankful for what we get. And your spouse is probably the number one thing we need to be thankful for. And if you never tell them they're doing a good job, don't expect them to stay around. Brooke, we're going to come and talk a little bit more about this because I think it's something so many people are up against right now. We'll be back right after this.
This year, America celebrates its 250th birthday, 2.5 centuries of courage, innovation, faith, and freedom. But what will the next 250 years hold? The next generation could hold the next Billy Graham, the next Rosa Parks, the next Ronald Reagan, the next child whose life will impact generations. But first, they must be given the chance to live.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Every day, Preborn Network clinics help mothers facing unexpected pregnancies discover hope through a free ultrasound. When a mother sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat, her baby is twice as likely to be given the gift of life. Which story will you help write for the next generation? To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Back to part two of To Every Man Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Joe Jackson. He's a senior pastor of Sure Foundation Fellowship, Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo on the east side of the Big Island. If you're out in the area, I know he'd love to see you. You know, Joe, we were talking with our last caller, and, if somebody that wants to reconcile realizing they were on the wrong road, I think that's a pretty good thing, don't you?
Yo, I do, and I think that's so important, as you're saying. not taking granted the gifts God has given us. And sometimes when you're married for a long time, you can almost just become like roommates with the person where you just kind of coexist. But I even think about the scripture in Revelation where one of the churches is doing great, but Jesus says, I have this one thing against you. You've forsaken your first love. And then he gives them this advice, go and do the things you did at first. And I think that's not only true with this church's relationship with God, but even as God compares his love for the church as a marriage, I think that's true in marriage sometimes. Sometimes when that spark's not there and we've forsaken our first love, man, what were the things you did when you were first dating? What were the things you did when you first got married? You know, I would write silly letters to my wife. I would bring her flowers. I would do all those things. And so it's like if the love's not there, go back to those things again and appreciate what God has given you. And it just helps keep the fire alive.
Yeah. And I really want to encourage our last caller. It looks like we might have lost her over the break. But, you know, I just want to encourage you. If he's willing to reconcile and rebuild, hey, listen, to err is human, to forgive is divine. And I think that it's really an important part, and especially for the sake of your children, demonstrating that God's love is real, God's forgiveness is true, and that charity begins at home. I think that's a really important part to remember. Let's go to John, Boise, Idaho. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, pastors.
Yeah, how can we help?
I'd like to get some clarification on, I'm looking at Matthew 7:21 through 23. You know, I think most of us know that says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I think it's the second part. It says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles? And then it says, Jesus will say plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. Well, in my mind, and I'm curious if you correct me if my thinking's right, but I feel like this is one of the most taken out of context and used many times as almost like a fear tactic. As I look at it, and the way I read it is, you know, John tells us that we can be certain of our salvation and we can have that comfort. But the way that I see this, and I see a lot of these, you know, maybe reels and stuff that you see on social media where people are using this, and it just seems like they're using it to say, boy, you get to heaven and there's people, and they use it many times to say people will get to heaven and be waiting to get their entrance. And to me, I thought the Bible said basically your fate is sealed once, you know, to live once and face the judgment. And any of us that die and move on, it's either they go one of two places, is either to heaven or to hell. And if they've already, like the like Lazarus and the rich man, he automatically went where he was. So to me, Christians, those that are born again Christians, are not going to be meeting up here and having this conversation with the Lord. To me, this is more maybe people that are false pastors, or, and I don't mean to pick, but, you know, maybe even like those that are, you know, I'm very obviously being from Southeast Idaho, predominantly Mormon community, but maybe more from that Mormon community standpoint of, oh, we just did everything in this regard. But I don't believe that somebody will ever have that standing before the Lord. And it'll be a surprise that he says away from me, but this would be something that would take place of maybe the great white throne judgment. Anyway.
John, I agree with you. I do not believe it's talking about people who love Jesus. I think it's very clear. This is not, these verses were not meant to beat a Christian. I believe it's those that use the name of God, but really do not have a relationship with God. It's hypocrisy. Notice it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not a prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we done many wonders in your name? Let me tell you something. Try doing any of those things. That's pretty impressive. But yet Jesus goes on and says, I'll declare to you on that day, I never knew you. Those words in the Greek are emphatic. I never knew you. So I do not believe this is speaking of even a backslidden Christian or whatever. I believe this is talking about people. And I'll give you some illustrations. In the book of Acts, there were seven brothers, the seven sons of Sceva, that were vagabond Jews. They were exorcists going around casting out demons. And they came to this guy that was demon-possessed, and he said, the Jesus that Paul preaches, we adjure you, demon. And the man replied back, the demons spoke through this man and said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And the Bible says this demon-possessed man leaped on these seven brothers, tore all their clothes off, and last we find in the scripture, they're still running naked. So I look at this, we realize that there are real believers and there are make-believers. And I think this is addressing the make-believers or those in cults that are invoking the name of Christ that really don't know who Christ is. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we find that in that power in the name of Jesus, God will heal. But that doesn't mean necessarily the person that is doing these things is necessarily right with God. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, and I agree too. You know, here in this passage, they're calling Jesus Lord. But just calling Jesus Lord is not enough. The question is he actually Lord of our life? You know, the reality is most Americans would say either they're a Christian or they believe in Jesus, but how many of them have actually put faith in Jesus and are living for him? I think only very few. And so I think one thing we see in this verse, just calling Jesus Lord, but not actually making him Lord of our life is not enough. And then also they list all these great religious activities they do, these great religious works of casting out demons and miracles. But religious activity, again, isn't the same as knowing Christ. What really matters is doing God's will and putting faith in Christ so we could receive his grace to forgive our sins, confessing sins. This is really what qualifies us to know Christ and to enter his kingdom. And then it's even interesting in this passage where Jesus says, I never knew you. Well, he knew of them. He knew who they were. But that word there, know, really in the Greek is more than just knowing about someone, but it's really a personal relationship. See, they were claiming Jesus was Lord. They were doing all these works, but they never had that personal relationship with Christ. And I think that's so important that we have not just knowledge of who God is or just claim him, but we actually have personal relationship with Jesus. So important in our life. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, I never knew you is omitting Jesus from their religion. And so it's really quite sad. And so in other words, you can know the name of Jesus or you can have a relationship with Jesus. You know, the Bible says, even the demons believe and tremble. That doesn't mean that they have surrendered their life to Christ, because people have oftentimes asked that question. Well, if even the demons believe and tremble, and John 3:16, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, does that mean the demons are saved? No, because there's a difference between acknowledgement and commitment. The demons acknowledge. A true believer is committed. John 3:16 deals with commitment, where we find the demons believe and trembling are recognition, but that doesn't mean they're committed. So hope that helps, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Just one last quick follow-up. So would you say that this is kind of even depicting taking place at the Great White Throne Judgment as those that maybe as the books are open, they're trying to that plead their case? Would that be a fair statement?
I believe so. I think it's not only because, again, death seals you in the condition you're in. And I believe that, again, as we look at this, now, if we look at it in context, now let's just go back quickly and look at it in context. If you back up just six verses, this is verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, very quickly, we have a little bit more of the context here. Verse 20, the verse right before the ones you're asking about, therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So we might say in verse 21, we might say it's false fruit. It's not real. Or if it is, it's stolen fruit. You know, I see these sometimes these churches and they sit there and they brag about, oh, look how big our church is. Well, there's just nothing more than a church split. You didn't labor for that. You just stole somebody else's work. And I believe this is a lot of what God's going to address on Judgment Day. And again, the great white throne judgment, of course, is when everybody's works has come to full fruition for the ungodly. When we die because Jesus took our condemnation where we should have gone to hell, we are only rewarded then for what we did for him in the right motive. The wood, the hay, the stubble, it burns up, but the precious things that remain, the things that were done with the right motive. And, you know, when you stop to look at it from a human standpoint, well, it all looks the same. But God knows the heart. And unfortunately, these people that have played the charade game, cloaking themselves in the name of Christ, being pastors and everything, deliberately withholding information from their congregate on how their church came to be, the cults, church splits, all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, I'd be surprised for a lot of these people, they have any reward at all. They might make it into heaven, but I'll tell you, I don't think they're going to have much reward because mostly the fruit in their life was stolen from somebody else. And it was because of a lie. And they knew it was a lie, but certainly they didn't want to straighten anybody out on that lie. So I really believe that a lot of this is what happens when we see this. And I think this verse addresses this. Whether it be somebody in a cult using the name of Christ, whether it be somebody that claims to be a Christian and is deliberately taking what somebody else did. Again, the verse before it is part of the context. Therefore, by their fruits, you know them. Or going back to verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. By the way, how do you know the difference between a wolf in sheep's clothing and a real sheep? Two things. What they eat. You know, sheep eat grass. Wolves eat meat, eat people. Big difference. The second thing is the tracks they leave. You know, a wolf track doesn't look anything like a sheep track. And so that's how you can tell where these people have come from and what they're about and their things. You know, it's so funny. A lot of times the very thing they accused somebody of, they're guilty of in a much more magnitude way. I'm always amazed by that. You know, their whole thing was framed upon a rumor, and yet they go out and commit a sin twice as bad as anything that was in the rumor. And I'm always amazed by that. I believe this is what this verse is talking about. They're false. They're false sheep. And that is the really, I believe, the context here of this that Jesus is talking about, the wolves in sheep's clothing, and saying how they say, oh, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this? Haven't we done that? Well, isn't it interesting? Notice what it says here. I just want to point something out here, very important. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Wow. You look at that. Sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? But the Bible says, get away from me, I never knew you. Wow. How sad that not only did they deceive others, but they were self-deceived. Hope that helps, John.
It does. Thank you.
God bless you. Stay in line. If you like, send me a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll enjoy that. With that, we're going to go to Judy in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, welcome.
Hi there. I'm calling in my 33-year-old granddaughter. She's been listening to Tucker Carlson and Candace Owen and the conspiracy theory people. And so she's really down on Israel and the government. And she was telling me how she just thought it was so bad that the Israel government is killing and hurting, harming the mothers and children of Gaza. And I asked her, I said, did you ever hear of October 7th, 23? And she said, no.
Of course not.
I didn't. Told her, and she said, well, that just still doesn't stop it. Well, then she sent me a text, and she later we had a talk about it, and she said, well, the second part was that she sent was that the Christians, the Zionists, are brainwashing Christians, and that there's a difference between Zionists and Judaism. And I won't probably be the one that she needs prayer. I won't be the one to really to change her mind, because we are very close and we probably each are opinionated, because I stand very much for Israel. And my question too is, I call myself a Zionist Christian. And is that wrong? And Bible verses to kind of, or do I call myself a Judaism Christian? I told her, I realize that many of Israel people, Jews, they're not Christians, but that's not my problem. My problem is that I want to go along with Genesis 12:3. I want to pray for them. I want to help the people, the Christian ministers that are in Israel, to help them see Jesus.
Well, this is part of the problem that we find right now in our nation. We're electing Muslim, people in candidacy. Yeah, New York, they said anti-Semitism is at the highest it's ever been in New York right now because of their current mayor, Mandani. And we find it spreading. You hear this over and over again, everybody. Now listen, before you go ballistic, just listen. Oh, mega, they're Nazis. How many times did you hear that? But you know, Nazism hated the Jews. They were the most anti-Semitic organized group of people since Nero. And they call mega Trump supporters, and even Trump himself, Hitler and the Nazis. No, it's the Democrats that are the Nazis. It's the Democrats that are supporting from the mountains to the sea, scrape Israel off into the ocean. It's them. I watched a thing the other day, yesterday morning, as a matter of fact. They had this guy, and he was looking down. There was a little clip down below of this guy in a nice suit, and he was going on and on about how Israel was, this terrible place, and that they led the world in human trafficking. Everything this guy said was a lie. Everything. And then you throw a little Christianity in there to make everybody think, this is God. This guy's a loon. And you got to be real careful when we watch this stuff, because it has all been doctored. It's all been modified. It is not true. And as I watch, I'm not saying Israel does everything right. But you know, this for this guy that was on the internet, this gray-haired guy, you'd think he'd know better. If you're going to try to rewrite history, you better make sure all the people that witnessed it firsthand are dead. And when I see a guy like this doing this, when I see the Socialist Democrat Party, and by the way, this guy that just won in Michigan, again, very much anti-Israel. Now that he's in the forefront, I love everybody. I love everybody. You know what? He spoke at the Democratic Socialist Conventions about how Israel has, the Palestinians, Israel has no right to, all this junk. And you look at this and you see these chameleons when they're running for office and they want everybody to forget about the communist organizations that they were part of and speaking at just months before. They want everybody to forget about it. And with the help of the rotten American news media, they're able to get away with it. Now, I got to tell you, when you look at this, so how do you deal with it, Judy? Well, again, you go back to what the Word of God says. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Luke chapter 21. These are words that Jesus himself said. It's in the last days. And Jesus goes on to say, the generation that sees this, Jerusalem under Jewish control, which it had not been for 2,800 years up until 1967, hasn't been under Jewish control. It was wiped out in 70 AD by a Roman general named Titus, came in, leveled the city, burned it with fire, laid waste for two millennia. And now hear exactly what Jesus said. And he goes on and says, the generation that sees this will not pass away till all things are fulfilled. Friends, we are at the end. When I see the corruption I see these two-faced politicians, and primarily the Democrat Socialists of America. They say one thing, and then when they start getting in the limelight, they try to retract everything that they've said. They're nothing but communists. And why, honestly, to God, these people are not in jail for treason, no one knows. They very much come right out and say, we want to do away with the Supreme Court. We want to do away with the Senate. We want to do away with everything America is, they're against. I don't know why the House of Un-American Activities isn't invoked in this. I really don't know. Because this isn't the Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy or Harry Truman. No, these are communists, and they want to destroy your way of life. They want to seize your houses, your businesses, all the corporations. I listen to the rhetoric. Oh, Elon Musk is the richest person in the world. He has all these trillions of dollars. Do you realize Elon Musk only has about $1 billion on hand to make all of his companies work because all of his money is involved in businesses that provide jobs? Oh, they don't tell you that. No, they don't want to be honest. My goodness, that would call CNN and these other into accountability. They don't want that. I watched CNN go after Kennedy, who's head of the health, and the facts that she was saying were so far outlandish. And Kennedy was trying to say, look, you're out of line. But truth doesn't mean anything in the American news media anymore. They have an agenda, and it's to destroy America. Let me tell you why, everybody, and you need to understand this. America is in the way of their one-world utopian system. When America goes, freedom goes. There will be no other country that will come to the aid of the Ukraine like America has done. There will be no other country that will come to the aid of Israel. There will be no other countries that come to the aid of Venezuela and all these. There will be no more. It'll be a one world order under a dictator called the Antichrist. You don't think the devil knows that? You don't think that America is in the way? And that when we believe in God and we believe in faith and all these things, the state, the communist government is your God now. Everywhere communism has gone has led to complete slavery like in China or complete financial disaster everywhere in the world. That's fact, everybody. The only place communism is even entertained in any kind of a shining light is in America because we're too stupid. The dumbing down of America. Thank you, American Teachers Union. You've dumbed down America. It's been a complete success. When America will actually vote for communists. This, to me, is so unbelievable. And so when I look at this and I see what they've done to twist Israel into being the bad guy after they were attacked and the Palestinians came in and put their babies, put the Jewish little babies in ovens, tied the parents up, and they put the babies in the ovens and they turned the ovens on and they could hear their kids screaming as they were being burned to death. Oh, the Palestinians are so good. Listen, they're terrorists. Pure, ungodly terrorists. And that's what they are. Isn't it funny whether you look in New York or look in Los Angeles at the college campuses and they had their little Palestinian protests? All the tents were the same. Ooh, this isn't just some kind of a love-in. Let's go down and show up at the college campus and protest something. No, it was all orchestrated. Their tents were the same color. Their signs were identical, whether in New York or in San Francisco. Why? Because this is a well-organized do away with America. So whether it's get rid of ICE, get rid of these guys are running. They say, we're going to do away with police. We're going to do away with the American borders. Do you realize there is no country in the history of the world that's existed without borders? Friends, don't buy their chili. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, just quickly, Judy, I would just say your relationship with your granddaughter is more important than winning an argument. And so you want to keep that open. But you can ask questions when she brings up things that Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson is saying. You know, what evidence is there for that? Is there another explanation? Just trying to promote critical thinking. And at the same time, you asked about, is it okay being a Christian Zionist? You know, that word Zionist is a buzzword right now. So I like to say I'm a Christian that supports Israel. And I may not always agree with everything the government does, but I do agree with Scripture, and I'm for Israel. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And that's what it is. And again, the day after this election where America is voting in communists, I all I can say, friends, is we need to pray like we've never prayed before. And we're all out of time. Richard, Judy, Cece, I just want to say, please call us. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Joe, thanks so much for being on.
Yes.
God bless you all. And until tomorrow, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night.
That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.